Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Attorney General Bill Schuette today unveiled a new batch of criminal charges in the Flint water disaster. Charged today are former Flint emergency managers Darnell Early and Jerry Ambrose, along with Flint officials Howard Croft, he was superintendent of public works, and utilities administrator Dorothy Johnson. This brings the total number of people charged by Schuette to 13. Wayne State University law professor and former federal prosecutor Peter Henning is back with us again. Peter, the two EMs, Darnell Early and Jerry Ambrose, charged with false pretenses and conspiracy. These are both 20-year felonies, along with misconduct in office and willful neglect of duty. But doesn't the state's emergency manager law protect them?
Well, it protects them from being sued, but it's not clear that it protects them from criminal charges. Typically, some type of grant of immunity would not be done in a statute, but instead would be approved by the attorney general and entered by a court. So while they do have the civil side immunity, it's not clear that they have the criminal immunity, although certainly that's something their attorneys are going to raise.
So that's certainly going to be an interesting test of the emergency manager law as the attorney general goes forward with this case.
Oh, absolutely. And you're going to have challenges to the charges, any number of them, because there are a lot of different legal arguments here, whether they had the type of office that falls within the misconduct in office crime. And then you have this very interesting new charge that we've seen here, the false pretenses charge, one that hasn't been used against any of the other defendants related to the water crisis.
Yeah, what does that mean legally when we say false pretenses? What does it mean?
Well, the crime of false pretenses, traditionally, one of the theft offenses, like larceny or embezzlement, false pretenses is when you lie to someone to get them to transfer property to you. So if I lie to you about how much I'll pay you or the validity of a check, and you give me the title to your car, that's false pretenses. So usually it's theft. Here, though, and the statute is broad, here the claim is they lied to get the bonds issued and that was used to obtain money from the bond purchasers. This is not the typical way that the statute is used, but it is a very broad provision. So their conduct might fit in under it, but I certainly expect to be an immediate challenge that this has nothing to do with theft by the defendants.
Howard Croft and Dorothy Johnson also charged with conspiracy and false pretenses. Again, both 20-year felonies. They were heading the public works and utilities departments when this lead contamination happened. Why do you think they're facing the same charges as the two EMs? Because weren't they just following orders?
Yes and no. I think to a degree they were. They were told to get this done, but the devil is in the details. And it was how they were trying to get the new KWA, the new water authority plant up and running, and to get the money for it, they played fast and loose. And indeed, all four defendants are accused of playing fast and loose with the reason for the bond issuance and how the money was going to be used. And that's the basis for this charge, that essentially they lied. Typically, in these types of cases, you find a lie and then build your case out from there.
Read the tea leaves for us, if you can, Peter, as you look over the charges now filed against 13 people. Is there a pattern that you can pick out and discern?
These are not going to be easy cases. The pattern here is what the Attorney General and Todd Flood, the special prosecutor, have focused on is trying to show misstatements or lies even by these different defendants and to paint a picture of them as not just playing near the edge by overlooking or not acting properly and getting the water for Flint, but actually taking steps, active steps, toward misleading others who might have been able to prevent this. So this is a case that is built around misinformation by these defendants, and even outright lies by the defendants to try to show that they're bad people. And of course, that's what every prosecution is, to show that the defendant is a bad person. That's going to be, I think, their path to try to do this.
As a former prosecutor, are you feeling things kind of lining up? Or is this a path that you could have seen yourself following as a former prosecutor?
There aren't a lot of paths to try to go after officials like this, who did not enrich themselves, that's always what you look for, and that has real jury appeal, when someone acts in a way to benefit themselves. We don't have any indications of that. So this is really a case about not acting properly with the authority they have, and so you have statutes here or crimes, misconduct in office, willful neglect, false pretenses in this case. They're trying to stretch them to cover what happened. It was always an issue here of could the Attorney General find real criminal conduct? In other words, something that's going to strike a juror as, hey, this isn't just bad management, but this is criminal conduct. I still don't know whether they're over that threshold yet.
Wayne State University law professor and former federal prosecutor Peter Henning. As always, Peter, thank you.
Thank you very much.